So if you buy office supplies, it's clean math, right? You need 10 desks, they cost $200 each, you spend $2,000.
Right, yeah, it's completely straightforward.
Exactly. You just point at the spreadsheet, hand it to the finance team, and the transaction is done.
Oh.
But, the moment you step into the world of digital marketing and try to set a monthly Google Ads budget, that clean spreadsheet just completely vanishes.
No, it absolutely does. It goes right out the window.
It really does. You're suddenly blindfolded, spun around three times, handed a fistful of darts, and basically told to throw them at a board of random numbers. So today, for this deep dive, we are taking the blindfold off.
We really are, because it's the absolute definition of financial muddy waters for so many businesses.
Yeah, totally. And to clear that up, we're unpacking a really extensive, highly tactical source text today. It's the Google Ads Budget Planning and Optimization Guide by Skeptic Studios.
Right. And I think the foundational premise we have to establish right out of the gate here is that there is no universal budget. Like, it doesn't exist.
Wait, really? Because I feel like everyone is always asking, what's the average?
Exactly. If you are scouring forums looking for the average amount a competitor spends, you are falling into a trap.
Okay, so if not an average, what are we looking for?
Well, the right budget for you is simply the amount required to generate enough relevant clicks and conversions to give you what the guide calls decision quality data.
Decision quality data.
Right. Decision quality data, all without breaking your business economics, of course.
I mean, I love that framing because it shifts the mindset immediately. You aren't just buying web traffic, you're buying answers to business questions.
Yes, precisely.
But, before we get into the actual calculators and formulas and the math of it all, we have to unpack why we're spending this money in the first place.
Yeah, the why is crucial here.
Right, because the guide reveals that your budget shouldn't just be this flat monthly allowance deployed evenly from day one. It actually needs to happen in distinct phases.
Yeah, three distinct stages to be exact: testing, proving, and scaling.
Okay, let's unpack this. It sounds a lot like learning to ride a bike, right?
I like that.
Yeah, so like testing is putting the training wheels on, just figuring out balance.
Right.
And then proving is it's like pedaling down the block on your own, seeing if you can keep it up. And scaling, that's entering the Tour de France.
Exactly.
You would never, ever enter the big race on day one. So why do we do it with media algorithms?
What's fascinating here is how many businesses actually do skip straight to scaling.
Yeah, they just skip the training wheels completely.
Totally. They just throw like $10,000 at a brand new account, apply an aggressive automated bidding strategy, and just hope the machine figures itself out.
Which usually doesn't end well, I imagine.
It doesn't, because algorithms need historical context. In that first stage, the testing stage, the question you are paying to answer is purely diagnostic. Like, can this campaign generate relevant clicks and early conversions?
So you're just looking for message market fit at that point.
Right. Are users actually responding to the ad copy? Is the tracking even firing correctly when someone submits a form?
Which is so basic, but so important.
Exactly. Because if you dump a massive budget here, the algorithm will confidently bid on garbage traffic. It doesn't know what a qualified customer looks like yet.
Right. And then, assuming the tracking works and the ads are okay, you graduate to the proving stage. And the budget here serves a totally different function, right?
It does. The question becomes, can we generate enough qualified volume to actually optimize?
Volume.
Yeah. If your budget is so restricted that you only trickle in, say, one or two conversions a month, you are flying blind.
Because you can't tell if it's a real pattern or if you just got lucky.
Exactly. You need statistical significance. You need enough volume to prove the concept works predictably so that the machine learning models have enough data points to map user intent.
Got it. And only after you've proven that predictability do you reach the Tour de France,
Right.
the scaling stage.
Right, the Tour de France. This is where the question fundamentally shifts to, can more spend produce business value without hurting efficiency?
Wait, hurting efficiency? Doesn't spending more just get you more of the same results?
Not always. Spending more in an auction-based system like Google Ads does not always mean making more proportionally.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, as you push your budget higher, you often have to enter more competitive auctions or reach further down the intent funnel, which means you might start buying worse leads at a much higher price point.
So your cost per acquisition usually goes up as you scale,
Exactly.
which perfectly illustrates why looking at an average Google Ads budget is completely useless. I mean, two companies could both decide to spend $5,000 a month, but that five grand will yield vastly different business outcomes because their underlying economics are just unique.
Right. The cost per click, the CPC in their specific industry might be wildly different.
Yeah. Or the length of their sales cycles.
Right.
Or the lifetime value of their customers. It all dictates entirely different margins.
You have to build the math around your own reality. And this is where the guide introduces a complete mindset shift regarding how you calculate that starting number.
Okay, lay it on me.
Instead of looking at your bank account and just picking a random allowance you feel comfortable losing, you actually have to work backward from your desired business outcome.
Working backward. Okay, so if I know what output I want from the machine, I can calculate the necessary input.
Exactly. And the text gives us two distinct methods for this. Method one is essentially your target conversions multiplied by your target cost per conversion, your CPA.
So just to do the math, if I know I want 50 leads this month and my profit margins tell me I can afford to pay $100 for each lead.
You just multiply 50 by 100. $5,000 is your monthly budget, clean and simple.
Okay, that makes sense. But what if I don't know my target CPA?
Right. That method works beautifully if you already have a mature business model. But what if you are launching a new product line or you just don't have that historical data yet?
Yeah, exactly. Then what?
That's where method two comes in, which involves working backward from clicks and conversion rates. And this approach is incredibly revealing because it forces you to look at the friction points in your funnel.
Well, let's walk through the math examples provided in the guide because seeing the numbers in action really drives this home, I think.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's take a B2B lead generation company. Let's say their sales team needs 20 qualified leads this month to hit their revenue targets.
Yeah.
And based on industry benchmarks, they estimate their landing page converts at, say, 4%.
Okay, so to find out how much traffic you need to generate those 20 leads, you divide the target leads by that 4% conversion rate.
Right, so 20 divided by 0.04 equals 500. So the math dictates you need exactly 500 clicks to hit your goal.
But clicks in the B2B space are notoriously expensive.
Oh, yeah. The guide uses an estimated CPC of $18 for high-intent software or service keywords.
Right. So you multiply those 500 required clicks by the $18 CPC, and you arrive at a required monthly budget of $9,000.
Wow. $9,000.
That is the mathematical reality of generating 20 leads in that specific auction environment.
Okay. But contrast that with the e-commerce example in the text. Imagine an online retailer who wants to drive 120 purchases this month.
Right, a totally different environment.
Yeah, and their store converts at a slightly lower rate, say 3%. So 120 purchases divided by a 0.03 conversion rate means they need 4,000 clicks.
But consumer product keywords usually have a much lower CTC.
Exactly. If their click costs like $2.50, you multiply 4,000 clicks by $2.50, giving them a monthly budget of $10,000.
And once you have that monthly target, whether it's the $9,000 for the B2B company or the $10,000 for e-commerce, you have to translate that into the platform itself.
Right, because Google doesn't ask for a monthly budget. It asks for a daily budget.
Exactly. And this brings us to the 30.4 rule.
The 30.4 rule.
Yeah, you simply divide your monthly target by 30.4, which is Google's calculation for the average number of days in a month. So that $10,000 e-commerce budget gets entered into the platform as roughly $329 a day.
Okay, so it creates a clean daily pacing metric. But, I mean, I have to push back on that $10,000 proving budget for a second.
Go for it.
If I'm a startup founder or a small business owner, handing Google $10,000 just to get decision quality data sounds like a great way to go bankrupt before I even have a chance to optimize the campaign.
It's a huge fear.
Right. Like, how is that practical? And is that media spend the only cost we are looking at here?
This raises an important question. And honestly, the guide is very explicit about this exact danger. It requires us to separate media spend from total acquisition costs.
Okay, break that down for me.
The $9,000 or $10,000 we just calculated, that goes straight to Google for the clicks. It's basically a toll booth. But to run a campaign that actually converts, you have structural costs.
Like what?
You have PPC management fees for the agency or internal specialist running the account. You have the cost of designing, writing, and A/B testing the landing pages. You have the subscription cost of your CRM software to track those leads through to actual revenue.
Oh, wow. So the true cost of acquiring those 20 B2B leads is substantially higher than the $9,000 media budget.
Significantly higher, yes.
The media budget is just the fuel, but you still have to pay for the car and the mechanic.
Exactly. And this highlights why optimizing just for cheap clicks or a superficially low cost per lead inside the Google Ads dashboard is a massive trap.
Because it looks good on paper, but...
Right. You might lower your CPC by bidding on broader, less relevant keywords, and suddenly your dashboard looks incredibly efficient. But if those cheap clicks translate into terrible leads that your sales team immediately rejects...
Then your actual business value is zero.
Exactly zero. You spent the media budget but generated no revenue in the CRM. Mm. You have to evaluate the budget based on qualified, closed-won outcomes, not just raw form fills.
Right. But, you know, if you are listening to this right now, you might be looking at those $10,000 mathematical models and thinking, what is the absolute minimum I can get away with?
Right, the minimum budget question.
Because I simply do not have that kind of capital to test the waters.
So does the math break down or does the strategy just have to shrink?
The underlying math never breaks. It just dictates the scope of your reality. I mean, the industry loves to ask about the minimum budget, and Google will technically let you spend $2 a day if you really want to.
But that won't get you anywhere.
No. The true minimum budget isn't a platform restriction, it's a data restriction. The minimum budget is just the lowest amount that buys enough volume for your team to make a statistically responsible decision.
Let's break down the $1,000 budget scenario from the text to really illustrate this. Because if you only have $1,000 a month to spend, its viability depends entirely on your CPC environment, right?
Entirely.
So if you are in a highly competitive, market-like enterprise software or legal services where your CPC is, let's say, $25.
Then that $1,000 budget is only going to buy you 40 clicks for the entire month.
Yikes, only 40 clicks. Right, and statistically, 40 clicks is just noise. If your landing page converts at 2 or 3%, 40 clicks might yield one lead. It might yield zero.
And if you get zero leads, you have absolutely no idea if your ad copy is terrible, if your landing page is broken, or if your pricing is wrong.
You simply haven't bought enough data to run a valid experiment. You've essentially just burned $1,000 on a guess.
But if you take that exact same $1,000 budget and deploy it in a local niche market where the CPC is only $3, the math completely flips.
It does.
Now that $1,000 buys you 333 clicks.
Right. And suddenly you have a highly viable budget for a narrow test. I mean, 333 clicks will generate enough traffic over a month to see clear patterns in search terms, identify demographic trends, and evaluate the quality of the leads coming through the pipeline.
So the dollar amount didn't change, but the data density did.
Exactly. The data density is what matters.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because this naturally transitions into how you actually allocate that budget, especially if you're working with limited funds.
Oh, budget allocation is where campaigns live or die?
It reminds me of spreading butter on toast.
Okay, I like this.
If you have a massive loaf of bread and only one tiny pat of butter, and you try to scrape it across 20 different slices, you end up tasting absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Right. If you only have a limited budget, you have to concentrate it on one single slice if you want to actually experience the flavor. So if you spread a $1,000 budget across 10 different campaigns targeting 5 different geographic regions,
you are diluting your data so severely that none of the campaigns will ever exit the learning phase. It's a disaster.
Yeah.
And the guide wholeheartedly endorses that allocation philosophy. You have to prioritize the campaigns that sit closest to actual business value. Focus your budget on high-intent search terms where the user is actively signaling they are ready to buy.
So don't try to do everything at once.
Exactly. Don't try to fund top-of-funnel awareness campaigns and bottom-of-funnel conversion campaigns simultaneously if you only have the budget for one. Put the butter on the best slice of bread.
That makes perfect sense. The text also brings up this nuance of brand demand, too, like bidding on your own company name.
Oh, yes. The brand campaign debate.
Right, because it's vital to protect your brand territory so competitors don't steal your direct traffic. But there is a massive warning here against overfunding brand campaigns just because the metrics look fantastic.
Yeah, you have to be so careful there. Brand campaigns will always have the highest conversion rates and the lowest CPAs because those users already know who you are. They were explicitly looking for you.
Right. It's basically free points.
Exactly. But the danger is that an overfunded brand campaign can artificially inflate the performance of your entire account. It makes the blended average look wildly profitable.
And that masks the real problem.
Right. It can easily mask the fact that your non-brand campaigns, the ones actually responsible for capturing new market share, are failing miserably and bleeding money.
Wow. So when a non-brand campaign is failing, or the account as a whole isn't hitting those CPA targets, the instinct for most business owners is just to panic and slash the budget. Like, shut it down, cut the daily spend in half.
Yeah, that's the knee-jerk reaction. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, blanket budget cuts are almost always a strategic mistake.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If you just slice 50% off the top of a failing account, you don't fix the inefficiency. You just make yourself a smaller version of the exact same failing account.
That makes a ton of sense.
The guide emphasizes reallocation over reduction. Look at the granular data. Move money away from the specific search terms that have high spend and zero conversions.
Yeah.
Pause the geographic locations that underperform.
And then take that exact same budget and forcefully push it into the specific ad groups that are actually driving pipeline.
Yes. Optimize for quality before you start pulling financial levers.
Okay, so let's talk about what happens when the campaign actually goes live, because this introduces the psychological side of budget management.
The fun part.
Right. You've done the math. You've concentrated the budget. You launched the campaign. On day three, you log into the platform and you see that your daily budget was set to $100, but Google just spent $200. Cue the daily freakout.
Oh, the daily freakout is practically a rite of passage at this point.
Right. Marketers immediately assume the algorithm is broken or they set something up wrong. So what does this all mean for the daily freakouts? Are you saying marketers just need to sit on their hands when they see a huge daily spend spike?
Yes, mostly. The calm voice of reason here says you absolutely cannot judge a monthly Google Ads budget by one unusually high or low day.
But we need to explain the mechanism here, because if I explicitly tell a platform my daily limit is $100, why does it have the authority to spend $200 on a random Tuesday?
Because Google Ads does not treat your daily budget input as a hard daily cap. It actually treats it as a monthly average. Google's machine learning isn't just looking at basic keyword volume. It is constantly analyzing millions of real-time user signals, browser history, time of day, geographic location, device type, even past purchase behavior.
That's a lot of data.
It's massive. So if the algorithm detects a huge surge of high-intent signals on a Tuesday, it knows those specific auctions are highly likely to convert. It deliberately flexes the budget, spending up to twice your daily limit to win those valuable auctions, knowing it can pull back spend on a slower Thursday to balance the math out.
Ah, because it respects that 30.4 monthly limit we established earlier.
Exactly. Over the course of the 30.4 days, the high spend days and the low spend days will average out, and you will not exceed your total monthly target.
Which means checking the daily spend is just the wrong metric entirely.
Completely wrong. The guide actually provides a very simple expected spend formula to track your pacing without the anxiety.
Okay, what is it?
Expected spend equals your total monthly budget multiplied by the percentage of the month that has elapsed.
Okay, so if my monthly budget is $10,000 and we are on day 15, which is roughly 50% through the month, I should expect to have spent roughly $5,000.
Exactly.
So if I spent $5,300, the pacing is totally normal.
Right.
But if I spent $9,000 by day 15, then I clearly have a massive pacing issue.
Yes, you'd need to look into that.
But wait, what if I've only spent $1,000 by day 15?
Then you have a different kind of pacing problem. Your bids might be too low to enter the auctions, or your targeting might be too restrictive, or maybe your ad quality score is so poor that Google just refuses to show your ads.
Right. And, you know, when people see any of these pacing fluctuations, their immediate impulse is to go into the settings and tweak the daily budget. Like, oh, it's spending too fast. Let me lower the daily budget by 20% today to slow it down.
Oh, please don't do that. That is the single most destructive action you can take while an account is optimized.
Really? Just tweaking the budget?
Yes. Every time you tweak your budget by more than 10 to 15%, you aren't just changing a financial cap. You are actually severing the algorithm's memory.
Whoa.
Yeah. You force the smart bidding models back into the learning phase. You are essentially giving the machine learning amnesia, forcing it to drop its predictive models and waste your money all over again to figure out the auction dynamics it already knew yesterday.
Wow. Okay. So the patience required here isn't just like a virtue. It's a technical requirement for the algorithm to function.
Absolutely.
Which brings us to this tension between knowing when to hold your budget steady and knowing when to scale. Let's look at holding first. When does a business just need to sit tight and let the machine run?
You hold when your sales cycle is inherently long. Like if you are selling enterprise software and it typically takes 3 weeks for a user to click an ad, download a white paper, attend a demo, and finally close a deal, you cannot accurately evaluate the success of your budget after 5 days.
Right, because the conversion data simply hasn't fed back into the system yet.
Exactly. You also hold, if you just applied a major change, like a new target CPA, a different bidding strategy, or a completely overhauled landing page, you must give the system time to ingest the new variables and stabilize.
So you have to let the dust settle before you judge the landscape. But what about the pressure to scale? Because, I mean, the platform is notoriously aggressive about pushing you to spend more. Every digital marketer has logged in and seen that bright red or yellow notification from Google that says, limited by budget.
Oh, the dreaded notification.
It feels like a shakedown.
Yeah.
The platform is essentially saying, hey, we have more conversions for you. Just hand over your credit card.
I know, it really does feel that way. But that notification is just a signal regarding auction volume. It is not a mandate for your business. The guide is incredibly clear on the criteria for scaling.
Okay, what are they?
You only increase your budget when your tracking is flawless, your cost per acquisition is strictly within your profitable target, and this is key, the lead quality is validated by your sales team.
Okay, so if your leads are currently terrible and you get a limited by budget warning, giving the platform more money just means you're going to buy a larger volume of terrible leads at a much faster rate.
Exactly. You scale success. You do not scale waste. Expanding a budget on a poorly performing campaign just magnifies the inefficiency.
Man, we have covered a massive amount of technical ground here, but I feel like the core philosophy really cuts through the noise.
It really does.
Setting a Google Ads budget doesn't have to be an exercise in throwing darts in the dark. It requires working backward from your unique unit economics. You have to ensure your budget can buy enough statistical density to make informed decisions.
Right.
You have to resist the urge to spread a small budget across too many campaigns. And you have to understand the underlying mechanisms of the algorithm so you don't induce amnesia every time you get nervous about a daily spend spike.
It replaces panic with a predictable framework. But, you know, as we wrap up, I want to leave you with a scenario that builds on the logic of this guide, specifically regarding the operational reality of what happens when you get this right.
Oh, the reality of scaling successfully.
Exactly. Imagine you have done the math perfectly. Your account transitions flawlessly from testing to proving to scaling. The algorithm builds a brilliant predictive model.
Sounds amazing.
Right. The leads are pouring in, your CPA is incredibly efficient, and the pipeline is full. From a marketing perspective, you are ready to scale that budget to the moon.
It's the ultimate digital marketing dream.
It is. But here is the critical operational question. What happens when your biggest bottleneck is no longer your media budget, but your physical supply chain?
Oh, man.
Or your sales team's capacity to actually call those leads back within 5 minutes. If you double your budget and double your lead flow tomorrow, will your customer service infrastructure completely break?
Wow, that is a phenomenal pivot. Because if the sales team is drowning and can't work the leads, the entire marketing budget was essentially burned, no matter how efficient the platform says it was.
Exactly. Financial success in the platform requires operational capacity in the business. Are you operationally prepared to be wildly, unexpectedly successful?
That is something you absolutely have to audit before you hit that increased budget button.
Oh.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive today. We hope we've helped you take the blindfold off, put the darts away, and approach your next marketing budget with the clarity of decision quality data. Keep questioning the data, and we will see you next time.